Good morning, church. How's your Lent going? How many of you gave up something at the beginning of Lent? Only two. You people aren't very Catholic. So you two that gave up something for Lent, still with it? Still holding on? It's tough. It's tough to give up things that we enjoy. So that, in fact, oftentimes for Lent, people want to take something on. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to do something to add to my life rather than take something away. It's a discipline, and discipline is hard to maintain. And no matter how hard you try, you can go for weeks, for months, but then sometimes it seems like, oh, right back where you started. So thanks be to God that we have a God who knows that about us, and wants to draw us closer to him. Thanks be to God for that. I'm going to invite you to come with me into Scripture this morning, into the Gospel of Luke. And out of reverence for that Gospel, I'd invite you to stand with me in body or spirit, in mind, whatever it is, to show your reverence for God's Word found in the Gospel this morning. And I want you to listen, because in these words, written 2,000 years ago, God is speaking to you, each one, and to me as well. Hear these words. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking. He asked them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Jesus, everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to understand these words and how they impact our lives today. We need your Holy Spirit to be present and to use this time and not let it be about me. Heaven forbid it be about me, God. Let it entirely, every word, every thought be about you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you would send your Son to forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an interesting story, isn't it? And we think of it in modern English-American type of ways. Could you imagine somebody trying to get into your house and not being able to make it in, so they go up on your roof and get their little pickaxe and start chopping away at the tin, whatever it is you have on your house, chopping their way through so they can get into your house. In our 20th century American minds, this story really is amazing to us. But it's a little simpler than that. In those days, the roofs of the Jewish homes were flat. In fact, most of the people lived on the roof. And if they were a farm country especially, the bottom floor was the stable where the animals could go in, and you would live up above them. Anybody live on a farm, grew up on a farm? Would you have wanted to live above the stable? No. But that's how they did it. That was their life. And so I can imagine that as Jesus is healing the sick, he's in this environment where it's ground level, and people can see, and people are coming in, and they've filled the room. They have filled the room. And so here come these men who want to bring their friend to be healed. They get to the door, and there's no room. No room at all. I took my best friend out to lunch yesterday because it was his birthday, and when we tried to go to a place, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and guess what? We opened a door, and there was no room. It was all filled, and so rather than try to squeeze our way in, we just left. We went someplace else to have lunch together. These people were persistent, though, because they knew that the hope for their friend who is lying on this mat, and Scripture doesn't tell us why he was on that mat, how long he was there, how long he had been sick, not even what his condition was. Just said this was a man who was paralyzed, and they needed to see Jesus, because they knew, those four friends, they knew that Jesus was the answer to the condition of that man. And so they go up on the roof, and it was flat, so they probably lay their friend there, and they start pulling the boards up off of that roof. And they make their way through, and they build a hole big enough, and I am trying to imagine Jesus talking to these people as this is going on above them, because we know it doesn't take much, a little distraction, and we're all like ADHD people. We got to see, oh, what's going on? There's a sound in the room. I'm certainly like that. So I don't know if Jesus was able to continue preaching as this was going on above him or what, but a hole opens in the roof, and down from that roof comes this paralyzed man. And then Jesus does this strange thing. He doesn't say, you know, you're healed, get up. He doesn't say, can I lend you a hand? He doesn't do it. He says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus knew that those four friends had brought that man to Jesus because he did have a serious condition that was threatening his life. And it wasn't the fact that his body had failed. It wasn't the fact that his body couldn't operate the way that it needed to. Jesus knew that the real condition that man had was sin. And you wonder, how can someone sin if they've been paralyzed and laying on the ground? We all sin and fall short of God's glory. And so Jesus heals him. Jesus heals him. Forgives him of his sin. And of course, when that happens, the people who were there are up in arms. What do you mean? You're not God. You can't forgive sins. And Jesus says, which do you think is harder? To forgive this man of his sins or to tell him to get up and walk? So Jesus says, I'll show you the easy thing. Get up and walk. The man picks up his mat and goes. Picks up his mat. Because he's not going back on that mat again. He's done with that. He's not going back to that life. For us, it seems the hard thing to do is to heal the paralyzed man. I certainly can't do that. I don't have that power. I can't walk up to somebody and say, be healed. Trust me, I'd have used that power a long time ago. But what Jesus does is he does give us his power. He says, you will do greater things than I do. For Jesus, healing that man of his sickness was easy. For us, that's hard. Jesus says, I forgive you of your sins. Get up. For us, that's hard. Forgive somebody of their sins. Jesus gives that ability to us. It's one of his gifts to us, so that we can look at each other, knowing our faults, knowing the most vile things that we can do. He says, I forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. Wow. That's the hard thing for us. That was the easy thing for Jesus. Get up. It was all easy. Get up and walk. Get out of here. Take your mat with you. Don't come back. Anybody ever feed a stray dog? What happens when you feed a stray dog? It comes back. It wants more. Paul, the Apostle Paul, related our sin to a stray dog. You feed it, it goes away. Sometimes we think we've got sin conquered, don't we? We think we finally got it figured out. We finally got that sin under control. And what happens? It comes back. Here's the dog back for more. You can't get rid of it. It's always back. It wants more. Our sin's like that. It wants more. It wants all of us. It wants our constant attention. Never wants to leave us alone. Where do you go with that? Most of us fall short. Most people in the world get consumed by their sin, ultimately to the point of death. But Jesus is offering us something, the opportunity to have it go away, to be gone, and how to have it come back. Because sometimes when the stray dog comes back, he brings friends with him, doesn't he? I know a sucker. He's going to give us more food. And then you get rid of those, and then they come back, and there's even more. It's so hard on our own to get rid of our sin. This man who came to Jesus needed help. He had four friends, at least, or maybe two friends or four friends. Doesn't say, actually. How many friends brought him to Jesus? My brothers and sisters, you can be, for someone, that friend who knows where the healing is for someone in your life. They've been to the doctor, they've been to the nurse, they've been everywhere. They've been to rehab, they've been to the therapy, they've been everywhere, trying to get rid of that stray dog that keeps coming back. Trying to make peace with their mind. The answer is Jesus. The answer is to come and be forgiven, to have those sins forgiven, to be done away with forever. It's hard work, but people need that. They need people in their lives who are willing to say, I want to take you to where the healing is. I want to take you to where there's peace. I want to take you to where your sin can be forgiven. Because we don't know how to forgive. It's hard for us as people. We remember everything. Jesus casts it away. It never comes back. I am inspired deeply by David in the scriptures. Because David was a man after God's own heart. David wanted to serve Jesus passionately. Read the Psalms, how much he loved to serve the Lord, loved the law, loved to follow Christ, or not Christ. He was a foreshadow to eventually our following of Christ. We read the Psalms, we relate it to Jesus because God's word is true. And yet, we know what happened to David. He was tempted in so many ways. Bathsheba, or you know, his pride, his arrogance, so many of those things that we look at David and say, oh, look at that guy. What kind of example is he? Do you know what he did with Bathsheba? That happened 3,000 years ago, and we still don't forgive the guy. 3,000 years ago, and we still say, yeah, that David, he was a man after God's own heart, but look what he did. It's easy to look at somebody else, but friends, Bathsheba is one mouse click away nowadays. Bathsheba is just a couple of mouse clicks from any one of us. What do we do with those temptations? What do we do with that stray dog that comes back? We go to Jesus, and we receive the forgiveness that we don't have for ourselves, and we certainly don't have for anybody else. And that's where we can be told, your sins are forgiven. Get up. Take your mat with you. And get out of here. Don't come back. Don't go back to the places where evil dwells. Don't go back to the places where temptation is. Be set free from that in Jesus Christ. Wish I could tell you that's easy. Wish I could tell you that I've done that and I'm completely set free and I can live my life perfectly. I've achieved perfection in Jesus Christ. No, I fall short, friends. All the time. All the time. When I speak from you to you, I'm speaking from the heart. I know what it's like to have temptation come knocking at the door all the time. The dog won't go away. No matter how much you shoo it away. Jesus is the one I need to hear. Your sins are forgiven. Friends, you need to hear those words. Your sins are forgiven. And not just to hear them and say, oh, isn't that nice? But to hear them and receive them and know in your heart, no matter what you do, Jesus will never stop loving you. No matter what you do, God has not given up on you. And no matter how far you roam, the Holy Spirit can outrun you and catch you and bring you back. So, church, your sins are forgiven. Please receive that in Jesus' name. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.